Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the ARMR Report, everybody. ARMR stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. As always, I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal. This is a live trading desk. This show is about stock market investing in what I call the millennial age, which is post-2008. This is not your dad's stock market and certainly not your granddad's. You've got an overwhelming amount of information coming in. And the need for execution tools that are like scalpels instead of an axe is incredibly important. That's what we do on the show. We share with you algorithms that we've built to help us execute more effectively and hopefully help you execute more effectively. We've been doing this over 30 years. I've been managing my own capital and that of high net worth investors. We still do that through our Interactive Brokers affiliation. And so I'm just taking my 30 years of experience and I'm taking the time, effort, and capital we've put into building algorithms, and I'm just sharing them with you. And you ask yourself, why am I doing this? Well, it really helps me. It helps order my thinking. So I appreciate you spending time with me in the mornings, 9 o'clock, and then again at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It really helps me execute. If I get out there and I chat with you and you guys respond to me, you give me a call, you email or a text or whatever, it helps me stay on my game. The most important part of executing is using the right tools like algorithms and then following through on your investment strategy. So anyway, this is a live desk. I've got screens all around me. I'm looking at this screen right now, and I've got charts down below. And so I'm looking to execute every day while we're talking. Sometimes I'm in the midst of trades. So this is real, live information right off our desk. The show is going to start, as I always do, covering the top five indexes and what our big algorithms are saying. The S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ, the small cap, and the momentum index. And we'll go into some discussions about news stories and how it affects the market. We'll break down what our intraday activity has been and where we're looking to invest. And then we'll finish up on our favorite groups. I've titled this show in the last couple of shows, Stalking the Bear Market. We're stalking the bear. We're looking for paw prints. We're looking to set up shorts if they show up. So nothing's happened yet that would change our investing algorithms on the big indexes. Let's start there. There's been a rally off of the low. It was an excessive low, exacerbated by the end of the year tax loss selling and other mechanisms that occur. And now we've had a rip higher that's exacerbated in the same way because capital is being put to work in an algorithmic way that doesn't care too much about prices. So there's different kinds of algorithms. You've got day trading algorithms that care a lot about prices. And then there's, you know, the weighting algorithms, weighting algorithms of big institutions, pension plans, and whatnot. We heard on the 27th of December, there was $60 billion that had to be reweighted in pension plans because of how low the stock market went. And so that $60 billion was buying stocks. It didn't really make a difference what the manager thought about the market or what's happening with the Fed or what's going on with Trump and China and all these other things. It's just a simple equation, like a kind of a dumb algorithm. And it says, if you get out of balance, you have to buy stocks. And so boom. Stock market rocketed off the low on what I would call dumb buying, just buying that has to happen based on a dumb algorithm, a basic algorithm. This is the equation. When you fall out of that equation, you have to buy. And that, of course, spilled over into the start of the new year. You get a lot of new capital that gets put to work. A lot of people fund their IRAs, their SEPs, whatever, and they just go buy the market. Hey, it's down big. Let's go buy it. And that's driven the market to the top of its downtrend that it's been in since September. But that kind of activity doesn't change our are smart algorithms that are looking for real changes in trend that we can trust because the probability and statistics are behind us and because the reward is worth the risk if we put capital to work. That hasn't changed in the last 10, 11 trading sessions. Volatility is still enormous, so the risk is great. And with all this overhead supply, the reward seems limited. And so we have to be patient. From an investing standpoint, we're just patient. We outperformed every index last year because we protected capital correctly. The market rips higher for 11 days. That shouldn't really change your approach to investing. You have to look at the bigger picture, and then you have to use algorithms to help you execute correctly so you don't get caught up in the emotions of what's going on. Okay. So let's talk about news that's important that actually moves the markets. It's the Fed, it's the Fed, it's the Fed, and everything else you could pretty much ignore. Everybody else is just guessing, the Fed's guessing on what the economy is going to do and what the response should be to what the economy does. It's a lot of guessing going on. The Fed, led by Chairman Powell, is trying to be more transparent, making a lot of comments that seem to be more confusing than transparent. So I don't know what's better. The Fed just being quiet and executing their plan, or the Fed coming out on a, it seems like, monthly basis, saying something contrary to the previous month. The market craters on thoughts of Fed tightening and balance sheet reduction. Then the market rips higher when the Fed tries to change its tune. And so we get these flip-floppings. At the end of the day, I think 2019 will be a year where the investors really care more about what the Fed does, not what all the jawboning is. But the jawboning can easily lead to a 10-day rally, and that's what we're experiencing right now. Okay. So I'm looking at these off to the side here. I'm looking at the markets. We had a gap down morning. Those of you who know me and who are watching us every morning at 9 o'clock, rule number one of intraday trading, we look to buy gap downs. We look to sell gap ups. Truth be told, though, I haven't done a lot of buying today. The gap down wasn't enormous. It was just a normal sell-off right back to the overnight VWAP. You hear me talk about that a lot. But the previous day, and in fact, I'm going to share the screen so you guys can see this, because it'll be a lot more informational, I think, if you can see it. Okay. What you're looking at here are two screens. One on your left is the NASDAQ 100, triple Qs. Okay. I'm just going to blow it up for you. And on your right is the small cap index. I'm going to blow it up for you. Okay, and what you see is the gap. So you see the previous day. You can see my, I guess I'll highlight it for you so you can really see this. Okay, there's where the market closed yesterday, and you can see where the market opened today. Okay, notice that black dot right in the middle of that yellow screen, that yellow box. That black dot is the VWAP close. So the black, yellow rectangle at top is where the price closed on the triple Qs, but the volume weighted average price was down here. So a gap down in the morning right to the VWAP doesn't mean anything. It's just the asset is trading where the real volume weighted average price is. And so it doesn't really give you an indication of direction one way or the other. It just tells you there was air between the closing price and the volume weighted price. Same thing is true over here. Price of the small cap index, volume weighted average price. And you can see that the small cap index has constantly traded most of the day. It's been trading right around the VWAP of yesterday. This is basic action on a gap down day that really means nothing. Some gap downs are important. They gap below key levels of support. They gap below key price points. Other gap downs like these don't tell you anything. This is just getting rid of the excess and the air and telling you that the price that the market closed at yesterday wasn't the real price. The real price is the VWAP. And so we're just trading at the VWAP. No big deal. Okay? So when I look to buy gap downs, what I'm really looking to buy, guys and gals, is I'm looking to buy movements away, or let's say below the previous day's VWAP, because then what you end up getting is a snapback rally to that VWAP. That VWAP is usually a fantastic magnet for the market. So what we're getting right now is a typical day of consolidation after a big run in the market. And what I'm going to lay out for you is our plan as we stalk the bear market. We believe on our trading desk here that we are still in a down trend. I don't care what you call it. I'm going to call it a bear market. I'm not going to quibble over everyone's different definition of a downtrend. Okay, call it a downtrend, call it a bear market, whatever you want. Until we break out of this downtrend, bear market, the trend, proverbially, is your friend. So the intermediate to longer term trend is down. The daily pattern is up. And so we've come right up to this key location, this downtrend on all of the big indexes. Small caps and the Qs are right at or above the downtrend, but below their 50-day. The Dow and the S&P are underperforming the other two indexes. They haven't even gotten to their downtrend, nor their 50-day. So I suspect there's more upside to this market. I suspect every index will trade at or above the 50-day before the reversal sets in. That's usually what happens. That 50-day moving average is a magnet. The market's trying to make its way up there. Very often you punch above that, and then we get to see what we're dealing with. Last time we punched above it, market was up 2% at the open, cratered by the end of the day, and imploded for the next 3 weeks. So now we're going back up to it. You can see the model portfolio. We run three model portfolios at Interactive Brokers that any investor can link their account to and begin using these algorithmic tools. We don't have any short positions in those index, in those model portfolios, conservative, balanced, and aggressive. Even the aggressive account, we haven't started shorting there yet. Because what I really want to see is a reversal that sets up. And I don't see that yet. We're also not at the key location where I would be willing to put a little bit out there. I really want to see all the indexes snuggled up against their 50-day trying to break out. And then I might start feeding some out short. And if we get the reversal, double or triple the position. That's our playbook for stalking the bear. If there's no reversal, though, and this is just a runaway market all of a sudden, then we let it run away. It'll pull back to a normal level, and we'll start buying our favorite investments, start buying the market averages and all these types of things. It's possible, right? September, so October, November, December were three down months, drove the market down 15% on the S&P, more than 20 on the other indexes. Now we've ripped off of the bottom. If this is a real change in trend and we're going to go into a multi-month uptrend, it doesn't all happen at once. Ladies and gentlemen, you haven't missed anything because it's up 11 days. There will be challenges. There will be sell-offs. If we get higher lows, then the algorithms kick in and it says, okay, the reward's big enough for the risk we have to take, and the probability is on our side. And that's when we'll start putting money to work, on the long side. Until then, we're stalking the bear. The one issue that remains a concern for the bears, the reason you can't go out on a limb and start putting money out short yet, is the small cap index continues to outperform on the upside. It's doing it again today. Small caps led this market on the downside from the top of September and have now led the market to the upside since the 27th of December. So in order for a real sell-off to begin again, what you need to start seeing are small caps underperforming. And instead, today, they continue to outperform. In fact, they're almost up on the day. Small caps are basically flat. Triple Qs are down 0.5%, just to give you an idea of the leadership there. So for all of you who want to be bullish, I would say, well, there's a bullish part of the picture that's changed from last year. We were on the show telling you over and over, be careful on the 24th of September. Get out of stocks. Get out of your small and mid caps. We're breaking down. We went to 100% cash early October, and it was led by small caps. Well, now small caps are leading to the upside. So we really need to see them start to underperform if this downtrend is going to resume. And so far, they're not doing that. It looked like they were going to do it this morning. They kept challenging the previous day's VWAP, and it kept holding. That VWAP kept holding. The buyers kept coming in. And so now we've extended up to close the gap completely for the small cap index, which probably means that the other indexes are going to go close the gap now. We'll see. All right, moving on. All right, let's just make this real quick and go back to our two favorite groups that we are focused on investing in. Precious metals continue to hold up well. We have our allocation there. We're leaving the positions alone. They're acting really well. I mean, you guys don't know this unless you're precious metals investors, but the last 7-year bear market has been brutal. And every time the market rallies, like it's rallying right now, they kill the precious metals and the precious metal stocks. And yet gold and silver are trading right near their highs, and the metal stocks are just consolidating what has been a very nice up move in the last couple months and threatening to break out to new highs. That's incredible. That's incredible positive feedback for gold and silver stocks. So we continue to focus there in our portfolios across the board, from conservative through aggressive portfolios. We're focused on precious metals. If they can hold up in a market that goes up 11 days in a row, whatever this is, I mean, it's an 11-day uptrend, not in a row, but 11 days. If those stocks don't go down, they will blow out to the upside if the market comes back and tests the low. The other group you have to focus on, and we've been talking about since August 15th, is the marijuana stocks. This is the super cycle for investing in marijuana. The next 3 to 5 to 10 years are going to be enormous. There'll be a lot of volatility. It's not going to be easy. You have to do homework. You have to build your whiteboard correctly. You have to invest in top-tier names and don't get caught in thinking that you want to buy a bunch of, you know, $3 stocks that trade in Canada. You don't need to take that risk. All you got to do is own the top names. Example, look at today's action. The names we've been talking about on this show for the last couple months, top two names, Canopy and Tilray, and to a lesser extent, Cronos. Tilray is up 25% today. Canopy's up another 6% today. I think it's up something like 30% in the last few days. Cronos is almost making new highs. It's up another 6% today. MJ is above 30 again after hitting 25 in December. These stocks are proving to you that they are going to be the leadership sector going forward. They're having the biggest January of any group out there. Now, today's information, and you can follow all the most important news stories on our website. I've got a blog post going for you that I call the, you know, marijuana hemp cannabis investing super cycle, and I try to put up all the important stories and research take on our end. But today's story, the reason why Tilray is going through the roof is that the largest private investor, the venture capitalist, who could, their lockup agreement is coming to an end, so there's 75 million shares they can put on the market. They said they're not going to sell any. And so obviously they're short sellers. They're stuck in the stock thinking there was going to be 75 million shares coming out, and there's none. And so they've gotten caught, and the stock has gone through the roof. That's not really an exciting reason for me to get long the group. That's a short-term narrative. And the volatility is going to be here to stay in these stocks. And so you want to buy them on weakness. Certainly, I'm not suggesting we run out there and buy them today. You want to buy weakness. But here's a piece of philosophy I've learned over 30 years of doing this, investing for myself and for high net worth investors. Stocks, groups that do the best in the first 2 weeks of January usually have a really big year. They show you in early January their strength, and that usually translates into a year of outperformance. And honestly, the best group in the market in the first 2 weeks has been the marijuana stocks, which is great. It's another piece to the puzzle of why we say in our blog post that this is the investing super cycle that's unfolding for us in the cannabis space. So what we want to do is buy weakness. If the market goes down and tests the lows, these stocks should make higher lows. And when they do, we accumulate. That's the investing strategy and plan for this group. I hope this has been helpful. I think that's all for today. I'll see you again tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, for getting your head straight on how to go about the day. If you have any questions for me, please let me know. Shout out, give me an email, give me a phone call. The phone number is right on our webpage, rosenthalcapital.com. I'd love to chat. You all have a good day trading. Have a safe day trading, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.